Okay. So I love these guys. You guys are amazing. You brought immense joy to me, to Dr. Corder, during our time together in Israel. Let me back this up a little bit. Maybe this won't squeak so much. Let me just briefly, in 1 or 2 minutes, give kind of remind us together of a rationale as to why we do this trip and go through many hardships, difficulties, challenges in getting over there. And some of you in this crowd, I can see, have already done this. All our students, as you guys know, you are all Bible and theology majors first. And pedagogically, right, when we designed Criswell 360, visiting Israel was selected. It wasn't the first thing, but it was within a kind of a several options. But we zeroed in on Israel for a number of reasons. Some of them I won't go into, but it was selected as our sole international destination, given its uniqueness on the stage of our faith, our history, salvation history, our institution's unique history. And I've been blessed to take groups to Jordan, Turkey. And at the end of the day, there really is no substitute for reading and studying the scriptures in color, metaphorically, in the land of the fifth gospel. You've heard me say that probably before. And we're challenged, of course, to learn, to grow in our understanding of scripture. So that complements our Bible and theology major. And numerous times I heard students saying, oh yeah, I remember I studied this with Dr. Brooks or Dr. Worsler in Old Testament Survey, for instance, or Dr. Moore or Dr. Sanders in New Testament Survey. And so it brings together all of those things in a unique way. And throughout, as we're going to sites and learning about the history of the land and what took place there on the stage of history and the importance of all that, we're also interacting along the way with Israelis and Palestinians. And we are always, we try to keep before us the idea of walking where Jesus walked, but also walking as Jesus walked, right? That's a big emphasis for us, to not just visit the dead stones, the dirt and the rocks. Those things are important, but the living stones. And so the service project isn't merely a mission trip or a vacation, obviously. We experience a microcosm of issues related to religious strife, conflict, socioeconomic issues that impact all those things. And we're exposed to those things, and in the process, we're learning to love our neighbors and listen to our neighbors. I'm a big advocate, everybody's heard me probably say this multiple times, we can't truly love our neighbor, God first, our neighbor, as ourselves if we don't know them and enter into and understand their experiences, their lived experiences. And so this trip is unique in that regard. And so I'm blessed to be part of leading and planning and leading that trip. And so with that, we want to turn to our students and ask a few questions. Would you like to start us off, Lance? We'll speak from down here.
Actually, why don't you? Because I left my questions back there.
So okay, I'll go get no problem. Them. Am I standing in the wrong spot, guys?
Very good.
Okay. Is it okay?
That's perfect.
Squeak. I don't know where to stand.
And if you don't have a microphone, make sure you get a microphone and speak into it.
Am I too far? Is this better? Okay. Okay, guys. First question, and really this is for anybody who wants to speak up. Did your courses in Bible and theology prepare you for the biblical sites that you visited? Anybody want to share your perspective on your courses leading up to the trip in Bible and theology?
I can start.
Yes.
I think our courses did prepare us. You obviously think of like Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey. I think for me, the course that prepared me the most to go on this trip was Intercultural Communications. Whenever we were learning about different cultures and how they respond to different scenarios and such. It really helped me whenever we were in Israel respond to different people that we interacted with, whether they were shop owners or people on the street that we interacted with, or even church members and leaders. It helped us understand them so we can respond to them in a Christ-like way.
Excellent. Anybody else want to contribute to that? Bible and theology courses? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think just to piggyback off of what Arlie said. Oh, sorry. I think we faced like real life things that we read in our books. Yeah, also I would say specifically with intercultural, I think that one taught me a lot. And we even experienced that, like, flexibility, for example. Like, we were supposed to go somewhere one day, and then it didn't happen, and so we had to, like, pivot, and that doesn't usually happen here in America. And so actually getting to experience that, I think we were prepared for that kind of experience. So, yeah, I would say your two classes specifically helped the most prepare for the trip.
So. Awesome.
I've got it.
Yeah,
Joseph. Go ahead, Joseph.
Sure. I think right before we went to Israel, I took a New Testament intensive class on Mark.
Perfect.
And so just getting to do like an intensive class on the gospel. And I think throughout the trip, it was just kind of walking through the gospel as well. So I think that was very helpful for me.
Okay, yeah. And I throughout the course of the trip, I heard you guys giving feedback here and there at various sites where you remembered, oh, I remember Professor so-and-so saying that, like I mentioned earlier.
Can I get a question real quick?
Yes, Ian, please.
If we can even back up before you got on the plane and headed over there and got to see where Jesus walked and learned all these fun things to interact with amazing people, I'm just looking at the stage. In my previous capacity as a registrar, I know I've worked with students that they or family members are very concerned when they say, and they realize, I've got to go to Israel. And for many of our students, they have jobs in the summer or they have ministry obligations, right? And so it's a real challenge. And then when you look at the reality, like, okay, trying to get through the schoolwork, trying to do all that stuff, and also I need to come up with a bunch of money, right? So you can see that there are a bunch of obstacles to go on this trip. So I'd just like to get y'all's perspective of, at the end of the day, was it worth it? And two, what did God do? Because the trip itself is powerful, right? But as Emily pointed out, the coursework that you took a year before that was shaping you and forming you and preparing you. But also on the spiritual side and on the very practical side of things, what do y'all have to share in those regards? Because we have students here that are freshmen, sophomores, and they're going through those anxieties and concerns. And so how did you deal with it, and how did the Lord prove to be faithful?
So, I would just like to share that I had to drop the class twice because I couldn't financially afford it. And I think that's just being realistic, you know, like I would recommend you not to take the class until you like really know that you're going to be able to. But what I learned through all of that is that if the Lord wills it, he will provide, you know. One of the things that really helped me was talking to Martha, because she told me, she was like, the Lord knows. From the moment that you were accepted into Criswell College, he knows that this was a part of the curriculum. And I just want to encourage you that, like, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's like, especially because I had to try to raise the full amount, and it was a lot. And like, I was, it was very scary for me to ask for help, you know, to do fundraisers. I did a few, but like, I wish that I would have persisted in that. Please do not be afraid to hold fundraisers and to ask people for donations and all that. Like, it's really going to be a blessing, and you'll be surprised at who donates as well. Don't be afraid. Don't be like me. Learn from my mistakes of like not wanting to step out of my comfort zone to send letters, and like, in a way, I took it upon myself, and it was a burden that I didn't have to carry. And I think I had to learn a lot to just trust in the Lord through all of that process. So I am very thankful for the way that it all worked out, because I went exactly when the Lord wanted me to go. And yeah, like, it was amazing. Like, a lot of the times, like, I was just amazed at the way that the Lord just kept providing and kept providing. And it was absolutely worth it. You know, I did have to drop two classes, so that means I am two classes behind, but I still say that it was worth it. Because the experience that I experienced over there, like, it was life-changing. Because I got to see the Bible come to life. Now, every time I read the Bible, I read it differently. And I'm like, oh, I've been there. I know what it looks like. I understand the context now. Because the tour guide, he was amazing at, like, just giving us a really good, like, context that we needed to truly, fully understand the passage. And yeah, it was worth it because now I can read the Bible differently and I can understand it in a more accurate manner. And so, yes, I just want to encourage you that it may seem like a lot, but just like me, like the way that he provided for me, I know he will provide for you. But I also encourage you not to let the fear, the anxiety, and all these things hold you back from asking others to donate, to help you out. And yeah, that's what I just want to say.
Two things Martha and I talk about. We've never seen a student who goes through the class, prays, not be able to achieve the full amount to go on the trip. We've never seen that happen. God always provides. And so he does provide. And then you mentioned something about how you read the Bible and how it's impacted how you read the Bible. I wonder if anybody else would like to offer a comment on the kind of the new eyes or lenses. We talk about the land as the fifth gospel, remember that? And so has it helped you understand Scripture personally, but also maybe how you teach Scripture or study Scripture? Anybody else have a comment in that regard?
Yeah, so, you know, it's one thing to read in commentaries and do research and engage with the Bible. It's incredible to be able to do so with the resources we have and have an understanding in your head of how things work. But when you actually get there and you have feet on the ground and you're in these cities where these people live, where Jesus walked, the apostles walked, these heroes from both the Old Testament to New Testament walked, it really starts to ingrain itself in you. These are people just like you and I, making the best they could what they had around them. And building the works that they built, making the tools that they made, it's obvious that they are just as capable as any one of us in this room, and they're no different. And they're engaged with the same issues that we're engaged with in those times, dealing with the same emotional traumas and problems. And so it really just brings the context to reality and makes you feel as if you're really connected that way to Scripture because you are where they were, you're in the context where they were, and you see the evidence that they are people just you like you and I dealing with the same issues we face today on a different level back then.
Yeah. Yeah. In some ways, nothing is new under the sun. If you think about first century with the Roman occupation, and then you think about how Jesus, you know, hand-selected the disciples that represented a spectrum of political views, for instance. You had collaborators with Rome. Think of Matthew and tax collectors. You had zealots. And what wisdom he had, obviously, in selecting those disciples. And really, I mean, the complexity that exists there now is reflection. I mean, it's in some ways just as complex. And so one of the goals, of course, is to understand that, understand where people are coming from, and then have those skills and categories that will be transferable eventually to wherever you land vocationally or in a ministry position. When it comes to perspectives of contemporary perspectives, Israeli, Palestinian perspectives, does anybody want to share a little bit about some of the things that you heard, learned, maybe you hadn't heard before that made you, maybe challenged you to think about things in one way or another? Yes.
Welcome. One of the very insightful things that I was able to experience during my trip at Israel was, especially with the current Palestinian and Israeli conflict, we were given the opportunity to, on the Israeli side, to visit a law firm, and on the Palestinian side, we visited a Bible college, and one of the deans at the college spoke to us about the current conflict. Now, one was more geopolitical with the law firm, and then the other one was more biblical based. Now, regarding the law firm situation, you know, we got inside over the incident that happened on October 3rd, very tragic. And it was interesting seeing both perspectives, how people hurt and how hurt can cause us to do hurtful things to other people. And on the Palestinian side, we were able to see the injustices that the Palestinians even go through, and the misconceptions. The misconception, one of them that the deacon happened to address was, not all Palestinians are Muslims. So don't go here assuming that, you know, oh, he's a Palestinian, he must be a Muslim. No, this man happened to have, like, his family history dated 800 years back. Was what kind of religion was it?
Greek Orthodox.
Christian Greek Orthodox.
He's an evangelical.
Yeah, so it was. I was like, whoa, like, very interesting. So, and so, yeah, just being able to give an opportunity to see both point of views was very insightful, and being reminded that at the end of the day, God calls us to love one another. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't, at the end of the day, regardless of how you feel, it shouldn't, we should never, ever, ever feel the need to, how do I say this? Erase a certain group. Because at the end, we are called to care for human life, whether it's within the womb or outside of the womb, regardless. And yeah, it's very important and insightful. And it taught me how to carry out, you know, especially when talking about the conflict from now on. And so, yeah, that's all I have.
Put a face with kind of the Palestinian or Israeli perspectives that maybe we hear that are disconnected from actual individuals, oftentimes in media or whatever the case may be, and you come face to face and hear stories. And yeah, anybody else want to share about maybe an impactful relationship? Yeah, or encounter.
I was just going to say that I really appreciated doing the project for the Global Learning and Service because we just
class.
Yes, in the class.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I really appreciated it because I got the Israeli Jews, and I got to really learn their history. And like, I had never dove in that deep before. And it made me realize, like, wow, like, I could understand where they're coming from. Sure. And then whenever I heard the side of the Palestinian Arabs, I was like, wow, like, I can understand why they might feel the way that they do. And I really appreciated it because even before going on the trip, like, I was already with a new perspective. And then just being there and seeing them, I was like, wow, like, they're just like us, you know? Mm-hmm. And
fallen, broken, heartbroken, that's right.
Yes. And I just thought about the importance of not being influenced by media and all these things and everything that anyone may say. It's important not to choose a group, you know? It's important to see them as human beings worthy of being loved because they were created in the image of God just as much as we are. And just going over there, I didn't see, in a sense, of a difference between them and us. And then I was like, wow, Lord, like, I think we all tend to choose a side before really knowing everything. And I came to the conclusion of, Lord, it's not about choosing sides. It's about valuing the human lives on both sides.
Amen.
And one of the things that Dr. Kuma said is, like, we cannot rejoice in the killing of anybody.
That's right.
We cannot be glad that anybody is dying, you know? Especially as believers, like, it should be in us that we value each and every single, like, life, human life. And I just encourage you to, before you try to take a side, do some dive. Like, I mean, you will in Global Living and Service. Like you will gain a new perspective. You will see that it's not as easy as it may look. It's so much more complicated. There's both right and wrongs on both sides. And I think that we aren't called to pick a group. We're not called to support just one, but we are called to support both. And that's just, like, my opinion. Mm-hmm. And, like, going over there, seeing everything, I loved everybody. Mm. Like, I loved them. I the way that we were treated by both groups, like, I had never felt so welcomed, and the hospitality was amazing. And I really enjoyed that they cared about us. You know, they cared to spend time with us. Every time we went somewhere to eat, it was a feast, you know? It was amazing. We were received with so much love. And it just...
We won't talk about the goat brain.
But I don't know. It all just comes down to love. And I think that this trip made it possible for us to put that into practice in the face of adversity. And just to really understand what it means to love someone despite the brokenness. And yeah. I fully
affirm that, obviously, as a starting point for understanding, because oftentimes we assume that we understand the situation, and when you go there and meet people, you don't understand the situation until you're there, and until we do a lot of preparation, but until you're talking with those individuals, and so many stereotypes get thrown around, and the personal encounter is, in my experience, always a highlight for us. And I'm wondering, so what were some other highlights? You talked about meeting people, the service project. Any other highlights that stuck out to any of you guys? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can go. The question, it's more of just like what wasn't a highlight, you know, and what wasn't impactful. It was also... just new. I mean, I've like traveled, I've been around, I know this wasn't a mission trip, but I've been on mission trips, and there was just something so different and special. I mean, there's people special all over the world, that's what makes it special, but Israel was just so intriguing. I mean, I just thought we'd be in the desert, you know, I thought it was just gonna be...
Camels,
yeah, you know, what you think, like... just what you picture, and then you get there, and it's beautiful, and there's such a diversity in scenery and people and religions, and it's just also so grand. And one highlight, one thing that stuck out to me is we kind of talked about, you know, you're going where Jesus is walking, you're doing all of this exploring, and you're walking as Jesus, and it's still, for me, it's still so abstract. It's not real. I mean, in one sense, because, you know, that was 2,000 years ago. Like, how can I ascribe that to now? But there was one time, it was just an instance, we were going to Capernaum, just stopping by, and we were exploring this town of the first century. And, you know, there's a synagogue there. Mm. And
Magdala, I think Magdala. Is that one? Yeah.
I'm not good with. Yeah. And there was, we're exploring the synagogue, and Bridger was like, this synagogue dates back to the first century. And you're like, whoa. And then you go to Luke, and I forget what chapter, and Jesus is giving a parable. And then at the very end, it says, he says, Jesus said this at a synagogue in Capernaum. And this was the only synagogue in Capernaum. And it dates back to the first century. And it's just like, wow, you know. Mm-hmm. You're exploring all through the old city. You're walking all these places where Jesus walked. And it's like, okay, you know, like, where did he walk? Did he walk here? Did he walk there? But then you have something so definitive. And it was so, like, in passing, too. Like, we enjoyed our time there, sure. We kind of dwelled on the scripture. But then we kind of passed. We had to go to see the Galilee and other things. But that part right there just stuck out to me in terms of the biblical perspective of just like, Jesus was there and he preached in this synagogue, and it was very impactful. Very, definitely a highlight for me.
Awesome, awesome. Other highlights?
Sorry,
you go for it.
Okay. I think for me, a highlight was going to visit the Sea of Galilee. Whenever I was like 10, my brother had first accepted Christ, and I think that was the first person that I physically saw be transformed by the gospel. And I remember for like a week after, like he accepted Christ at camp, and a week after he was just playing the song Oceans by Hillsong like nonstop. And as you know, like that song is inspired by, I think it's Matthew 13, whenever Jesus calls Peter to walk on water with him. And it's there at the Sea of Galilee. And so that scripture has always been really important to me. And just in general, just as I grew in my faith, just whenever I personally, if I ever have like anxiety attacks or anything like that, I imagine like a sea, like a storm, and then it calming down. And like a figure, I'm looking forward. And so going to the Sea of Galilee and physically seeing that was, I think, very incredible for my faith. And it just put like a physical picture of that. And me and my friend Madison, she's not here today, but me and Maddie, we sang Oceans there. And it was an experience that I generally feel like money can't buy. And so whenever, like earlier Lance asked, like, oh, like how did you feel about the trip and raising money and such? And even my parents, they asked me when I came back, they're like, do you feel like it was worth it? And I'm like, well, you know, you pay like about $4,500. I feel like I would go back and pay $1 million if I had to do it all over again. It's just incredible. Money can't buy this experience. Words can't even express how incredible that was to experience that and be able to be there. But yeah.
Thank you. Do I have time?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think there were a couple things, but I'll kind of keep it short. So mine was also the Sea of Galilee. I think was a huge highlight for me. We had a lot of time to just kind of sit there and enjoy it. And I remember just sitting there and just like, it was just so beautiful. I mean, all of God's creation is so beautiful, but I think there's a beauty to just kind of going back to the question on like seeing scripture come alive. I think for me, it's like now I'll always have an image in my head and I'm a very visual person. So whenever I'd read my Bible and I'd open up the map, like in the back, I would try to, you know, follow along, but it's like not as easy. But when you actually go and you actually travel all these places, you get to now going back in my Bible and reading it, I think was just something so impactful for me. But I think going back to the Sea of Galilee, it was just so beautiful to sit there with Jesus. And I remember just like talking to him, saying like, can we just stay here forever? Like, I just want to stay here. And he was like, no, you can't, you know. I think something he said to me while I was just like wanting to be there forever was like, there's so much work to do and I've called you to do it. Amen. And I think even just meeting a lot of the people there and hearing the different views and just what it's like, even how hard life can be just for people there, I think it really like broke my heart. And it just reminded me that I have a calling back home too, because people are also brokenhearted and lost. Sure. And you know, have different views that or they're different things they place their trust in their faith in, and it's not Jesus. And so I think just that moment at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was just telling me like this is a moment and enjoy it, but when you go back home there's so much work. And so that's one of them. I would say another one is just talking to the people. I think the learning aspect of it, like yes, there's service, but I felt like I learned so much, like especially from talking to locals. Like something like one day Arlie and I were paired together and we learned that they're like the Bible, like the Old Testament's in their school curriculum, and they told us that like we have to take tests over it and things like that. And it's like, oh wow, like that's interesting. So I think just learning from the people that actually live there and are from there was also a huge highlight for me. So
yeah, awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
Good?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, if you're a cat person, I don't know what to tell you. But you're gonna run into a lot of cats.
Oh, boy.
That was funny because at some point I was at the Mount of Olives, and like, you're at the Mount of Olives, like, gosh, it's like a lot of like history right there. But I saw a cat and I was like, let me take a picture of the cat. And Dr. Richard was like, okay. But I guess
I'm a dog person.
Yeah. So, but I guess another highlight, and I won't say highlight, but I kind of find it funny, is how we were at the Jordan River, and I thought I was going to see this beautiful, luscious river, like, it was going to be so nice, clear water. No, we got there, and it was, like, brown, and I was like, and it was dried up a little bit, and I was like, oh, it's interesting. Well, obviously, like, with, like, you know, rivers do dry up over time eventually, but it's like, it's just funny how sometimes like you expect big things and then you come here and it's like, oh, you're just like kind of humbled by the simplicity of it. And I kind of
could throw a rock into Jordan.
Yeah, you could throw a rock country. But you can't get in there because
yeah
because the territory is kind of split off. But I found it more of a highlight, more like of a funny aspect of it. You know, sometimes, you know, you do expect grand things, but sometimes you just have to be like, oh, you know, sometimes it's not as big as we think it is. And, you know, just being reminded of the simplicity of things is also important too.
One of the highlights for me always is to take students to churches and places of worship, churches, church services that I personally was a part of, and just for them to meet friends and join in the worship. So maybe one of you wants to share about, you know, what it was like to be in a Arabic speaking worship service as well as a Hebrew speaking worship service. Yeah.
I can go if no one else. Okay. I think it was one of the last churches we went to, like one of our last nights. We were singing like Christmas songs, and it was also so cool to get to go during Christmas time. I think that was just such a blessing. But yeah, we were singing songs that we know, like well, now I'm blanking on all the Christmas songs, you know.
Silent Night.
Yeah, there you go. Silent Night. All those Christmas songs. And, you know, we know it, and we know it in our language, and, you know, we know it so well, but they also do. And, you know, we'd have screens just like this where it'd have both languages. And it just felt like a little taste of heaven, like singing in your own language, but hearing another language right next to you. But you all have the same heart and the same heart of worship. It was just so cool. And so even though I couldn't understand like word for word what they were like, I don't speak Hebrew, I don't speak Arabic, but still knowing what they were saying, I think it was just beautiful. And
awesome. Any other highlights or anything like that? So you guys know our graduate profile. We want you guys to be ambassadors, cultivators, peacemakers, problem solvers, professionals. If you had to pick one of those and how this trip contributed to achieving that graduate profile value, which one would you pick and why?
Sorry, I think I have my answer
too. Go right ahead.
Sorry, guys. I got a lot to say. I would say ambassador, like if I had to pick one. I think learning a lot about, I think the whole trip just humbled me so much in learning that I don't know a lot, but also in just trying to have more compassion on people and understand them. And so there was, excuse me, there was one day, again, it was when Arlie and I were together, we met a couple on the street. They were our same age. We were like, oh, we're all 23. Like, that's so funny. And we had this like questionnaire that we were doing with the church, and we asked them like, oh, what do you like about living here? We were in Haifa. And, you know, if there's something a community could do to serve you, like, what would that look like? And we just learned so much from them. And we had the opportunity to like share, because again, they told us they're like forced to learn the Bible, and they did not, you know, they grew out of that once they graduated. They didn't believe in God or Jesus. I think the boyfriend, he had said, I think God is just a thing people make up to have hope kind of thing was something he said. And then they started asking us about ourselves, like, why are you guys here? Why are you asking these questions? And we're like, well, we're just learning. Like, we chose to go to a Christian school. We chose to learn about the Bible. And they asked us, like, why? Like, why did you choose that? And it was just an opportunity to not point our finger at them, to not to tell them they're wrong about anything, but simply to be an ambassador and just say, I've witnessed Jesus in my life this way, and to not be ashamed of the gospel that we know and we believe in. And so I think that experience specifically for me was like, it encouraged me coming back home to like not be afraid to share what I believe in. And so, yeah, amen. That's for me.
Amen. Any others? Yeah.
I was also going to say ambassadors because, like, we are having to step out of our comfort zone and, you know, just approach people out of nowhere and just try to get a conversation going with them. But then I started really thinking about it and I was like, you know what, problem solvers is also a good one. And I say that because it teaches us to approach situations differently. You know, like with the whole conflict that was going on, that is going on currently with Palestine and Israel. It teaches us that from now on, we shouldn't approach something and just think, oh, this is right and this is wrong. Rather, like to understand that there's a lot of complex situations out there. And it teaches us to, instead of just be so quick to cast judgment and be like, nope, like you are completely wrong and we're going to side with this. It teaches us to take a step back to be humbled. Ask the Lord for guidance, because there's just some situations where there just seems to be no right answer.
That's right.
And so it's just like relying on the Holy Spirit's guidance, you know, and just like loving them no matter what. And doing everything in love, you know, because that's what it all goes back to. And so in a way, I feel like it's taught me to be a better problem solver, because I realize that things aren't always what they seem. And that if I am quick to act on the first judgment that I cast, then I can seriously hurt people along the way. And so it's taught me to just humble myself and think, remember that I don't know everything. And yeah, like I think that would be one of the problem solvers.
If I would pick a word, it would be professionals. I'd say professionals. I mean, even though we were all in, you know, casual settings, we got to know each other in a personal level. I would say professionals. I mean, over the courses, you take global learning and then you take intercultural communications. The professional thing to do as a student would be to be culturally aware. You know your social cues, be aware of what culture and what context you're in. And especially when I was in the Israel trip, I was asking Dr. Bridger like a ton of questions. I'm pretty sure he heard a lot of me from me. But I was
all
like,
good,
okay,
by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, all good. But they were all like, okay, what do I do? What do I not do? What do I say? What do I not say? And just being able to communicate effectively, I think it's one of the key things, and knowing the whereabouts or what to do, what not to do, and you know, being culturally intelligent.
Yes,
it's very important, especially when you're in a foreign country, because at the end of the day, we're accommodating to the host country. The host country doesn't accommodate to us.
That's right.
And so, yeah, professionals knowing how to carry conversations. You know, when you encounter these people, especially during the service portion of our project. We encounter people who were from different religions, you know, and so being able, for me, at a certain point, it felt like I was walking a tightrope, because I was like, oh, I don't want to say something offensive, you know. We were in communities like Muslim communities. We were also in Jewish communities. And so I was very on the fence on like, okay, what's offensive and what's not offensive? What do I do? What do I not do? And just, you know, when you speak to these people, obviously using the correct terminology to ensure that, one, they don't get offended. Obviously, being able to stand your ground, yes, you're a Christian, but there's also ways to address that you are, you know. So,
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah. Anybody else? Graduate profile.
I would say, just to add on what Emily was saying, you know, that day that we were paired up together, I think that was another big highlight for me because we were able to share the gospel with this couple and really pray for them and such. And something that me and Emily were talking about right after was that it just was interesting to really see their answers towards the survey that we did, because a lot of it was just about community and such. And I know for me, this past 2 years, I had just moved churches, and so it was really hard for me to seek community. And so it was very impactful to me to be able to think like, wow, there's a couple of like young adults also from across the world that are experiencing the same thing I am. And so that was impactful. And just also just seeing how deep their need for Jesus was and how their soul just longed to worship, but they just didn't know it. And so it was really impactful for me, and also just encouraged me to be bold in my faith and be an ambassador for Christ. And it also encouraged me to just be a peacemaker and meet people where they are, because like right there we could have had an opportunity to be like, oh well, you're wrong because of A, B, and C. However, we just met them where they were and talked to them about what interests them, and answer their questions about us and try to center it all back to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Probably have time for one more comment about anything from our panel, if you'd like to share. Yeah.
The food was really, really good.
It is. If Jesus ate it, you can too. Amen. I know, yeah, you got one?
I'm going to brag on these guys a little bit, and here's why. It was really neat to have this opportunity to go to Israel with Dr. Bridger, and I could spend hours just talking about the phenomenon of man he is and leader is when it comes to leading these trips. You did an excellent job.
It was
phenomenal. God really blessed us through you.
Thank you.
He gave me the responsibility, because he carries so much as it is, to select folks to do devotionals on a daily basis in the morning, just kind of talking about what went on the day before, how that applied to the Bible, what we can learn from it. And the reason I want to brag is, one, every one of you who spoke did an excellent job of just bringing God's word home to where we were.
That's right.
But number two is, there wasn't one of you that I approached that said no. I could have picked any one of you, and you would have said yes. And that shows to me a couple of things. One, your commitment to God's word and your faith. And then number two, your confidence. I don't know if it's from your past or coming here. Probably it's a culmination of also learning what you're learning here at Criswell College. But your ability to grasp God's word and make it apply in any context. So thank you to each one of you for, because many of you made points that really struck home with me, and I'm sure Dr. Bridges as well.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate you.
Yes, we do. Thank you guys so much. Lance is going to come up, maybe talk about financial issues.
Yeah, for some other things. Just as a quick summary here too, it's I know oftentimes, you know, if we're coming in as students, you know, we're thinking, oh, like, we're the customer and the school is here to serve me, and, you know, I'm supposed to get smart and it's very academic kind of thing. I need to get my credential, get my piece of paper so I can get a job at a church or in ministry or something like that. But what's really awesome is to see God working in them as they're learning. You know, and this thing that strikes me in the scriptures, it says about Jesus, like, you know, yeah, he went to the temple and he shocked all the people there as a 12-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. But he continued to learn and to grow and develop, right? And this is the Son of God, God incarnate. And yet, this is exactly what our students are doing. You know, they're incarnating Jesus day in, day out, coming into class, doing their projects, doing all the stuff, handling the stress of everything. But it is, there are redemptive things, not just 20 years down the road or not just when you get that job, but God can use it redemptively in a project here in the United States, or as you go at the airport or wherever you are. Like, it's awesome to me that in time immemorial, in the past, before God created, like, he knew that there was going to be a couple there that needed to hear about Jesus. And he brought two of his daughters there.
That's right.
You know, and 2 years ago, I don't think it was on either of y'all's minds that you're going to have to go to Israel. I mean, this wasn't on your horizon, was it? And yet God cared so much about this couple and about you. Say, no, we're going to do our thing here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a beautiful element. No other school does it. It's I know many people look at all the obstacles, but God is in the middle of it. Mm. And so for those of you who haven't gone yet, it was brought up. It costs, depending on the trip, it costs from $4,500 to $5,500, depending on which trip it is, the timing, and all. If it's a 1.5 week trip or a 2.5 week trip. When you're accepted and you enroll in your first classes, you can start fundraising and prayer raising then. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to wait to get into Comm 201 or Chris 201, right? You know, hey, I've been accepted. So those of you who are here, you're all students. So if you haven't started raising money for your trip, I implore you to start praying and talking and sharing. There are lots of resources that we try to provide to help you. But one of the first things here, and I'm going to, at the end of it, I'm going to go back to the first slide. There's a QR code so you can download this presentation and look at the notes as a reminder down the road and look at some of the tools. But create a list of your family members and friends and church members and, you know, anyone that you know that might have a heart for Israel or for the people of Israel. You know, that it might be Palestinians, it might be Christians that are in Palestine, right? And so start just creating that list and praying over them and for them and saying, hey, Lord, like, if you want to use one of these people to bless people in Israel, not just me, mm-hmm. but maybe there's a couple there that needs to hear the truth of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, who in my life wants to be a part of that blessing?
Amen.
Right? So that you can send a text, a phone call, an email to them. But take action to contact or communicate with others at least once a month. So for those of you who haven't been on a trip, like, man, just once a month, just put it on your calendar. Like, I'm going to pray for these people, and I'm just going to send a text. I'm going to send an email. I'm going to call them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out for lunch and share about this opportunity. The next thing is, you know, we provide a fundraising letter template, and you have access to that in your e-portfolio folder that we shared with you when you were a freshman. But again, you can access your e-portfolio folder if you had downloaded that. The template letter there is in Word, so you can go in there and personalize it. You know, it's we put in lines. If you just want to put in the name, the date, your email, and your phone number, great. If you want to add some other verbiage in there, fantastic, do that. But start utilizing that fundraising letter. Now, you know, you get your list of people and you give them a text, say, hey, I'm going to be sending you a letter. Please pray about it, you know, about your partnering with me. The next thing is, you know, we talked about fundraising through crafts or through selling things. We've had people mm-hmm. make t-shirts and sell them. We've had people, they're good in the kitchen, so they'll bake bread or cookies or brownies. And, you know, there are all different kinds of fun ways of fundraising that you're good at doing. Like, God can use that for other ministry purposes, right? Some of you are into gaming. Hey, let's just do a contest. You know, $5 goes in. Everyone that wants to, you know, participate in this gaming weekend, $5, $10, $15, whatever it is, you put it in, and the winner gets 25, 35, 50% of it, and the rest of it's going to go to support my trip. You're building community. You're getting everyone to do things that they want to do anyways, and you're raising some money in a fun way. So try to be creative with that. And then we are offering the opportunity, the SGA, really under Lucy's creative leadership, the SGA is sponsoring a Chris 202 fundraising fair this spring. It's going to be Monday, April the 4th, if I remember correctly. 6th, that's a Monday, not a Saturday. So yeah, Monday, April the 6th, you can contact Lucy. She's putting up a registration form. So if you have things that you want to sell, maybe you've got a business, a car washing business or something like that, and saying, hey, you know, we're going to donate all the proceeds that come through this. You know, my labor is going to all go to the funding this thing. For some of you, you've already been on a trip. If you want to help raise money for one of your peer students, that's fantastic too.
Amen. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, because as a community, we're all participating every single trip. We should all be praying for the students and the staff members that are going on this trip. In Israel, it's real obvious, right? I mean, there's daily conflict. People are getting killed daily. And so they need our prayers.
None of us.
None of us.
By God's grace.
But that's true here in Dallas, too. I mean, this is the thing. This experience shows us how much alike Israel, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem is to a Dallas or a Fort Worth or an Arlington.
That's right. Yep.
Or a Rockwall. Right? We have human conflict in all of these places. Mm-hmm. And we need to be praying for one another. So these are just the instructions on how to get to the actual document. It's in your second year, the Grow folder, your sophomore year, and then in that first folder for the resources for the Chris 201 class, and then there you have that template, and that's the beginning of it. You know, I mean, and it's in Word, so you can, it's on our letterhead, so make sure if you edit it, you have to keep within our guidelines of student behavior and our, you know, you can't put in there whatever bad stuff. So we trust you on that. So that's what I have for fundraising. It's not too early to start, even if you're a freshman. It might be a year and a half down the road. But please do that and talk with those that have been on the trip before and say, hey, what did you do? What did God do to help make it possible for you to go? And they have some really creative ideas. God has done some pretty amazing things. You know, sometimes it's even going out and speaking at a church. And, man, you never know. People at a church will just have a heart for a Christian student. They want to help empower and enable you to go. And you get hundreds or thousands of dollars sometimes that way.
That's right. Well, thank you guys for your attentiveness. I've asked Leslie to close us out in prayer. So please pray us out.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us to gather today, Lord, for Thrive. And thank you, Father, because we are so humbled in being in the side of the panelists, Lord, to be able to share, Father God, all the amazing things that you taught us while we were in Israel, Lord. We're just so incredibly grateful and blessed to have been able to go, to be able to go learn so much and to be able to serve those around us, God. And we're just so grateful for all that you did for us, that you helped us to fundraise the money, Lord. You helped us to be able you provided, God, and we're just so grateful to you because of that, Lord. And in the same way that you provided for us, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would provide for those who are still waiting to go, Lord. I pray that you would help them with the fundraising process, Lord, and that they would not be afraid to ask for help, Lord, because I mean, I did, but then you still provided, and I know that you can do it, Lord. But I just want to encourage them, and I pray, Lord, that they would learn something from a little bit of what I shared, Lord. And that they would just know, Lord, that you knew that they were going to be here in Criswell, Lord. You knew that in order to graduate from Criswell, this is something they have to do, God. And you will not abandon them in their time of need, Lord. I pray that whenever anxious thoughts consume them, Lord, that your peace would be with them, God, and that they would remember that they can trust you, Lord, and that you're in control of their financial situation, Lord. And God, we're just incredibly humbled to be able to be before you, God. You are continuously faithful in our lives, Lord, and we don't deserve you at all. But you chose us and you love us continuously. And the whole purpose of going to Israel is because you became incarnate in the form of the Son, Jesus Christ, and you chose to die on our behalf because you knew that we needed rescue. And you did it, Lord, even though you faced great suffering, Lord, you chose to still do it out of love for us, even while we didn't recognize you as Lord. And you chose to do that. And so we're just so grateful because 3 days later you rose from the dead, and that is why we have hope right now. That is why we can rejoice in you, and we know, Father, that after this life we will be with you in heaven. And so may we be able to be glad in sharing the good news, and I pray that you would prepare the students that are still needing to go, and that they would just be good stewards of your gospel, Lord. And so we just pray, and then we just pray for the rest of this day and the semester, Lord, that you would continuously guide us, Lord, and that we would just glorify you in everything that we do, and that we would seek to please you and everything. So we just praise you and we worship you in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, panel. Thank you, Dr. Bridger. Thank you, Dr. Corder. And one last word. 2 weeks from today, we have one of our own, Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of Southeastern Seminary, is going to be here speaking, giving the Thrive Chapel message 2 weeks from today. invite all your friends to come. We want to fill the place out. We're really honored for him to be our alum and all he's doing for the body of Christ. Thank you again, panel. Awesome job.